Welcome to Climb Your Mountain, the only podcast that teaches you how to use coaching, neuroscience, and mindfulness to overcome life's challenges. I'm Sarah Maurer, a certified life and performance coach, breathwork facilitator, and trance geek. Each week, I show you how to change your brain fast, for good, and without struggle. Whether you're training to climb an actual mountain, building a business, dating, or planning a fucking rebellion, these tools will help. Listen and learn so you can enjoy more of what you want. Happiness, fun, connection, creativity, courage, and the occasional mountaintop moment. Ready? Let's do this. Hello, my dope-ass humans. How are you? I am good. This episode, though, oh my God. This is the second time I'm recording this episode. Just a quick backstory. Maybe not so quick, to be honest. I'm actually giving some of you who are listening in real time may have heard the pre-roll, the little ad. I'm giving a workshop tonight on healing your relationship with food and body, and I'm pretty stoked about this. And I wanted to record an episode to actually kind of set up that workshop, get you guys excited for it. And of course, I always do like a terrible job of aligning my podcast content to kind of like what's coming up, like as far as my workshops and my business. I just suck at that for some reason. And honestly, I think it really doesn't matter that much. Some of you are listening to this a year after I recorded it and you're like, yep, I missed the damn workshop. But anyway, it seemed important to do that. So I sat down and I wrote out this, these very detailed show notes. And I was kind of working from a really old formula. I've been in the online business space long enough that I have a lot of like old, kind of outdated shit in my head about how to market, how to present, how to teach, and like what people really respond to. I really think, this stuff might have worked in 2010, like when the internet was kind of fresher, kind of newer. But I think a lot of you are just kind of too smart now. You're like a little bit jaded with all them being marketed to on the internet and being sold to and being, you know, what's the word? I don't know. It just like, I feel like I still want to follow these old formulas that are kind of shit. So what I did, I had a teacher a while ago who was like, when you do a webinar, this is the way you set it up. You make up two fake people, one who's doing it right and one who's doing it wrong. So that's exactly what I did, y'all. Oh my gosh. Their names were Becky and Tanya, and they had like whole lives and stories about their struggles with weight and body. And I talked for like an hour and I don't know, got a little wrapped up in these ladies. They began to have lives and kids and families who said shitty things to them about their weights. And then I was crying. I'm like, oh my gosh, I feel so bad for these women. And then I was like, I rarely do this. I kind of have a rule that these podcast episodes don't have to be good. They go out as they are. I don't really edit them. I just kind of speak all the way through. But I was like laughing and crying. And I'm like, this really is like a horrible and disjointed episode. I sound like someone who is like, I don't know what's the word, like a little bit unstable. I might, if I listen to this episode, like never listen to my podcast again. It's just so rambling and bizarre. And it really is coming from me trying to be someone that is not me, using someone's formula that doesn't really work for me. It's not really coming from the heart. So I'm going to burn it all down. I just like, after an hour of talking, sat there, thought about it, and hit delete, like deleted the whole thing. And so I am re-recording this content about food and body more as a study episode. I'm going to speak directly to you like an intelligent adult that is actually does not need gimmicks to absorb or care about what I say. So hopefully that's true. If not, you're on to the next podcast anyway. So who is today's episode for? We're talking today about how to stop shaming your body and start healing it. So who needs to be doing this? Anyone who's really feeling pain and shame around their body. Maybe your body image is not amazing. You might be thinking thoughts like, I can't be happy until I can fit into these size 4 jeans I wore in high school. Or I can't be a good runner until I have, like, if you're a woman, like 18% body fats. anyone who is struggling with things like emotional eating, over drinking, over exercising, and feeling a lot of shame around that, anyone who kind of punishes their body, I think that's more where the over exercising comes in, either, you know, making yourself earn calories and kind of thinking about food intake that way, or if you have too much, then punishing by over exercising afterward or restricting afterward. These are all ways that our shame around our bodies, around food can look. So that's what we're going to be talking about today. Like, how do you start to heal that? And I have a different take on it than I think like 99% of the other people on Instagram that are influencers that are, look at my body and I eat 3,000 calories and tons of fat and I have a six pack. I have a really different approach. And I think you're going to actually really enjoy it. A bit of a trigger warning that I will say before I really dive into the content. I kind of sat down to write this episode and I'm like, oh, food and body, like I'm going to keep this nice and light. This might be a short one. And since I really sat down and just kind of started channeling what was inside of me, I'm like, oh shit, this is going to like a dark and possibly controversial place. We're going to be talking a lot in this episode about power structures. I'm going to use words like patriarchy, white supremacy, what else? Colonization. I'm going to talk about capitalism as something that can not necessarily always be a good force in our lives. And do I hate capitalism? Obviously fucking not. Like, I am a life coach. I have an online business that, you know, trades money for a service. So obviously, like, you know, we have to think of all of these things in nuanced ways. But yeah, I think I'm going to talk about patriarchy, especially. I think that does relate a lot to food and body. And when I talk about patriarchy, I think it's really natural, and I totally would understand this, for white men in particular to feel called out, and for men in general to feel called out. And if that's something that comes up for you sometimes, like, one thing I'd like you to remember as you listen through this with an open mind is that patriarchy is not a person, it's a power system. Like, if you are a white man, you did not create the patriarchy. You are not the patriarchy, but you are a person that maybe benefits in some ways from that power structure, but not always. One thing I also want you to hold, everyone who's listening to this, is that patriarchy harms men as well as women. Any system that's seeking to control and dominate people and favor some people over others, it really needs to be called out, examined, and in my humble opinion, dismantled. And I thought about not talking about this. I'm like, I could rewrite this whole fucking thing. But I also do think it's really impossible to heal your relationship with food and body without like really understanding and examining this. So I'm just going to go for it. Just like following my North Star here. Here we go. Oh, and a little about me and my story with food and body. I think that's always important. Anytime I'm teaching on this, I do like to kind of share where I'm coming from. And one thing I will say to start with is it's a path I'm actively walking right now. This is not something that I really feel like I've had breakthrough after breakthrough in my life and now can really teach from a place of absolute mastery. A lot of things on the podcast that we do talk about are things I feel like I've mastered. Food and body is one that's kind of a lifelong study for me, and I'm not sure that that will actually ever change. I come from a really interesting family dynamic. It's always like really interesting to look at how your parents' stories about food and body and how that got transmitted. So I had two parents that, you know, came from pretty traumatic backgrounds in both cases. And my dad like really responded by using food for numbing, emotional eating, also used a lot of substances. And my mom kind of had the same trauma, but the opposite reaction. And she was very like controlling around food and body. had a lot of rules and opinions about her body, her food, judgments about other people's bodies, talked about other people's bodies a lot. I felt judged growing up. I definitely took after my dad. I was a little bit of a heavier kid. And yeah, just growing up with this mom where being skinny is morally right and kind of, you have the virtues of self-control and what's the word? Discipline. That was really tough. And at the same time, just also having modeled through my dad, how to use food to really, deal with feelings in maybe an unhealthy way. Also have been an overdrinker. Also have been a compulsive exerciser. I think this kind of started in high school, in college, when I really started to feel a lot of shame about my body. I'm I can eat and numb out. But as long as I exercise insanely to prevent myself from gaining weight and keep myself quote unquote skinny. So yeah, ran cross country in college, became a long distance runner. I've pretty much been running long distance since high school. Also got into, as I moved to Colorado, hiking, mountaineering, which are healthy things, but I was kind of approaching them, I think, a lot of times in a really unhealthy way. So this was decades of my life, and it all came to a screaming halt last fall. I got long COVID, and actually I think this is so interesting, and if you think about it from a cosmic spiritual perspective, it's whoa, well, there's a big no from the universe. Yeah, my big long COVID symptom is post-exercise malaise. I'm really exercise intolerant. I don't have a lot of the other really severe long COVID symptoms. I don't have severe fatigue or brain fog or joint pain or anything, maybe some mild stuff, but nothing too crazy. It's the post-exercise malaise that is the big thing that holds me back. So can't really exercise that much. Been gaining a couple pounds, and it's really, really, really forced me kind of into a deep study of how to get more right and kind of heal my relationship with food, with my body. So that's a lot of what I'm going to be sharing with today, kind of a lot of the learnings and breakthroughs from the past 6 months. So how do we heal our fucking relationship with food and body? What even is that? Let's dive in. So let's start here. So what do we think the problem is whenever we are emotionally eating, whenever we are having difficulty conforming our body to what society says it should look like? Maybe we're overweight, maybe we're unhealthy in some way that we feel shame around. What do we think the problem is? We think that if our body doesn't conform to kind of the social ideals that have been held up to us, there is something wrong with us. We make it mean that we are flawed, we are lazy, we lack self-control. And it could mean too, we make it mean sometimes that we are stupid and we just need to find the right diet, the keto, the paleo, the vegan, or the app, like the fitness tracker where you count every little tiny calorie, or we just need to find the right strategy to make our bodies conform to the ideal. So we kind of think the problem is us and we're doing something wrong fundamentally. So that's what we think the problem is. And then we think the solution is to try harder, be better, become even more controlling over our own bodies. And this often looks like punishing. Remember I talked about eating a lot and then going out for a very long run that maybe isn't necessarily healthy or something we need to do. We're simply doing it because we perceive that we've been bad and eaten too many calories, so we need to be punished and purified. It's almost like a religious experience through exercise, right? And that's also, when we download that diet tracker and make ourselves account for every little calorie and just spend, I find this is so funny. In the workshop tonight, I'm going to talk a lot about diet trackers just because I used to be a personal trainer and this is something that comes up a lot lot and clients are very curious about. I'm going to share a lot of my thoughts on diet trackers. And like the long story short is, I think they can be useful if you're in the right headspace when you're using them and using them in a way that is supportive and using them as an ally and not a way to beat yourself up. But yeah, I definitely was not always like that. And I remember being in like fucking Chipotle and I'm like, I want to eat a bowl, like a Southwestern like burrito bowl, but it's got like 17 ingredients. And I'm like standing there in line before I even order the stupid bowl, like putting all the, I'm like putting like the chicken and the sour cream and the cheese. And I'm like, oh God, is it the right kind of cheese? Like trying to find them all on the diet tracker and put them in so I know like what exactly is going into my body in this meal, which I will tell you like is a miserable way to live. Like at some point I was like, I just shouldn't even eat out because I can control it more when I eat at home. And like for me, like eating out is such a social thing and it just really became a problem for me. Like it cut into my social life and other areas of my life because I was very like focused on my body. So that's another way it can show up. We talked about earning food for exercise, punishing ourselves with exercise and food restriction. How many of you have eaten, felt like you ate too much at dinner and then like decided that means you're not going to eat breakfast the next day? Even though that can have like really like poor effects on our metabolism, it can actually get us more of what we don't want whenever we restrict in that way. Some people spend an incredible amount of time just thinking about food. I talked about the diet tracker. And if you think about it, it's almost like when we're in this punishing critical head state, in this punishing relationship with our body, think about a parent who's very strict and very controlling and like their relationship with even like a child. And yeah, they're just always like nothing's ever good enough for them. And there's so many rules and so many things to follow. And you just think about this little child who's trying to do their best, trying to measure up and how sad that is and how difficult you almost like might start if you have a punishing parent or critical parent relationship with your own body. Yeah, like that's like a hard way to live. Your poor body, it's like this sad little kid that just can never do anything right. So why doesn't this work? Being punishing and critical to your body, treating it like an enemy, something you have to tame and control, it feels fucking terrible, right? Like you've probably experienced this. If you're like me, you've experienced this a lot. And one thing that we do know about humans and the way that we operate is that whenever we try to make a change, like eating healthier, losing weight, healing pre-diabetes or chronic illness, we can't make change and take sustained action from a place of pain, shame, negative emotion. We can do it for a little while. Like often you'll see people like get on these really restrictive diets and they can hang on for a couple weeks. Some people can hang on for a couple months. Some people got mad willpower. But eventually, at some point, it just becomes too painful to take action from a place of pain, of woundedness, of shame. And we retreat from that. We resist that. And eventually, it goes to the point where we go back into that trance of eating for comforts. That was the thing we were trying to escape from in the first place. And actually the pain of trying and failing and then like beating ourselves up for it can actually like backfire. It can drive us to eat and drink more and do more of what we don't want because we're just feeling so terribly emotionally, just want to numb out, just want to feel the comfort that comes from eating that food. So that's what doesn't work. Controlling yourself and punishing yourself and beating yourself up and whipping yourself. It works for a little while, but very rarely. Gosh, when I was a personal trainer, I think they told us the statistics of people that lose weight and keep it off. It's less than 10%. It's like really hard to keep it off for a couple of, even like a year. The statistics are pretty bad for sustaining weight loss because most people go about it from this very punishing mindset. And I'm going to tell you why we do that. If you've done that, I don't want you to feel bad or called out. There's a very natural and normal and understandable reason that we do that. And I'm going to get there in just a minute. So actually, we're going to get there right now. Can you tell I'm like reading from my notes and like repeating myself? It's kind of funny. Anyway, I'm going to try to just like speak and look less at the notes. But let's talk about what the real problem is. This is where it gets a little woo-woo and trippy, y'all. Just kind of come with me. Open your minds. But what the reason? So the real problem is not that we are weak. It's not that we are lazy. It is that we are all profoundly spiritually wounded, and we are spiritually wounded by our separation from nature and our true self. Some of you would just want like, what the fuck? So you can either take this like super literally, as I'm about to explain it, or I kind of think of it honestly, like more as a useful allegory. Just kind of open the mind and think about yourself, your body, your connection to your body this way. So there was a time in human history where humans, you, your ancestors, were very connected to the earth. They were really just kind of living in their essential wildness. They were very free. And during this time, they did not see their bodies as separate from nature. And fundamentally, that is true. Like, we tend to think of ourselves as separate from nature. You kind of think about climate change deniers and like the planet, and like it's just this thing that's kind of here for our exploitation, and we don't want to embrace climate change because then we might like lose money and have to like make costly changes in our industries in the way we do pretty much fucking everything, right? But anyway, yeah, we kind of have been trained in a modern society to see ourselves as separate from nature, and that's bullshit. Like, we are nature, and nature is us. And whenever we were kind of in this state of connection with the earth and this wildness, we really understood that and really didn't even question that and didn't question our bodies. Like, our bodies just were there, and kind of like we accepted them just like we accepted everything around us. And did we have problems like during this time? Of course. But worrying about our body fat percentage was not one of them. In fact, gaining a little weight was probably good for our survival, because we were, you know, going out and getting food was hard. We actually had to hunt it, or, you know, as time went on, farm it, gather it, reap it from the earth. And another thing I think that is important to remember about this time is, at this time, we really were connected with our body as a vehicle for all our pleasure. Like, a lot of the good things that we enjoyed about life came to us through our body, whether it's tasting food, having sex, touching another person, feeling warmth from the fire, seeing beauty through the eyes around us. We really kind of understood that, yeah, the body was like a pleasurable thing in addition to just being kind of part of nature and part of us and inseparable from us. So pretty cool, huh? Like I'd like to get back to that time. But what happened is that human civilization advanced and became more complex. And as it did, we became more distant from the earth, from nature. And there's like a concept called the Great Severing, which is the point at which it became too painful to stay connected. So we disconnected from the earth. We kind of set ourselves apart as separate and saw it as something separate. And this left a wound in all of us that we still feel today. We still feel and long for that connection with nature, that freedom to express our wildness. And if you don't fucking believe me, look at the people moving to Colorado. Like, I've been here since the 90s, and millions of people have moved here since I first came here. It's like mind-blowing. Many of them wanting to just be closer to nature and closer to outdoor experiences. Like, that's really what that's all about. I really fundamentally think so. And so we have this wound from this severing. We're separated from nature, kind of separated from our wildness. And often that wound gets expressed in controlling one another. So this is where we start to see, as society evolves, things coming in like patriarchy, white supremacy, the more toxic aspects of capitalism, colonization, and like look no further other than looking at how the diet industry colonizes our bodies. Like, I think about this, like, it's still mind-blowing to me. When I think in 2010, like, I had been living overseas and moved back to Colorado and was just kind of reconnecting with some of my old friends. And I'm like, they all look, like, really, like, good. They're, like, they've all lost weight. They're all, like, super, super skinny. And then I noticed, like, they don't eat. We were, like, out at dinner. And I'm, like, having, like, a burger and a beer. And they're, like, sipping, I don't know, seltzer water or something. And I'm like, guys, like, what's going on? And they had all gotten on this diet. And they're like, we're on this amazing diet. And they're like, you take human growth hormone. Yeah, I think that's what it was. I'm like, that sounds terrible. Like something like, I don't know, like people would dope with or something in sports. And I can't remember where they were getting it, like some secret place off the internet. And I don't even know if it was actual real human growth hormone. And they're like, yeah, we're taking it. And it's making us like so skinny. But then they're like, and the other part of the diet is you only eat 500 calories a day for like 2 weeks while you're on this human growth hormone protocol. And I'm like, oh my God, like what the fuck? Like you could just like dispense with the expensive human growth hormone and just eat 500 calories a day. This program they were on was, as I remember it, like quite expensive. And some of them had done it. Like you were only supposed to do it like once every 6 months or something. And like some of them had done it like way more than that. But yeah, they're like, it really works. This is the first thing that's worked for some of us. And I remember just being kind of mind blown that, like these people, these were intelligent women, like educated, like really, but really probably like we've all kind of fallen into this trance where we're like, you know, we need something like an extra special something to, you know, control our body. Because it's really, really important in the society that we live in. We've really been programmed that, especially as a woman, to be thin, to be like low body fat, to look a certain way is important, and that to be overweight in any way is like morally wrong and failing and lazy. And yeah, this programming is pretty deep in us at this point. And there's another kind of colonization I'd like to mention that kind of comes from, I don't know, like the capitalist class, like industry, big food, feeding us shitty, low quality food for profit, and then blaming us for the obesity epidemic and making us feel like it's because we're lazy. When really, like the diet that's been fed to us, if you're like me and grew up in the 90s, like we were just fed so much bullshit about food. It's like, yeah, everybody eats, like, you can eat Snackwell's cookies, which are filled with, like, high fructose corn syrup, because these are fat-free. There was no concept back then of, like, eating healthy fats. And we knew about healthy fat back then. We knew it was, like, healthy to eat fat and bad to eat, like, really terrible, like, processed high fructose corn syrup. But that the government really allowed that to be promoted and to be, like, in our health guidelines that we were teaching children, teaching parents, because it was good for, you know, for agriculture and for industry and for big food to use surplus corn to make this syrup that was like really unhealthy for people and just like feed it to us as something that was good. So, and we see this continuing today. Like, it's so terrible. I like another one that makes me crazy is there's actually like a lot of hormone disruptors in processed food. And like a really kind of common one you hear coming up is BPA. It's a kind of plastic that is lining a lot of canned food. And it's an obesogen. It like disrupts for men and women, like your hormone production. It makes you create more fat cells. It makes your fat cells bigger. And most of us have like high levels of this in our body. It's like almost inescapable unless you're very, very conscious about how you're using plastics, which this has been known for a long time, but it's really only to a lot of us. Like the information is not like, you know, like told to us by journalism, by the media, by schools, by institutions, because it is really cheaper to line cans with plastic that's bad for us. So yeah, we have this big food industry like putting all kinds of crap in our food, and you know, the crap makes us fat even if we don't necessarily overconsume. It's obesogenic, and so we have this obesity epidemic. And is big food taking responsibility for it? No, they're blaming it on us and making it a personal responsibility thing. So I work in healthcare for my day job, and like one thing that I thought was really interesting, I was reading an article yesterday about some of the new weight loss drugs, and they're like, oh, these are drugs that are really expensive, things like Mounjaro, Wegovy. So doctors and insurance, so I think it's insurance companies, not doctors. Insurance companies are like, we'll cover this for people that have like diabetes, because some of them started as diabetes drugs, but we're definitely not going to cover it for people to actually lose weight. And if someone wants like Wegovy for weight loss, which is actually what it's for, we want to see evidence that they've made behavioral change, that they're able to lose weight on their own. And it's really interesting, like, to me that like, it's almost like, you know, we made you fat, but now you have to unmake yourself fat. We're not going to give you any help. So yeah, I just thought that was kind of bullshit personally. And it's really interesting when we look at how like we treat ourselves in our bodies whenever we're not conforming to the ideal. We're thinking that we should be thinner. We're thinking that we should lose weight. We kind of follow this same blueprint of control and punishing and shaming ourselves for eating wrong that's been handed to us by the patriarchy, right? Like, that's very clever of them, how they got us to do it to ourselves. Like they don't even have to, and to each other. Like, there's a lot of judgment between people, right, about how we eat and our weights and our bodies. So that's the problem. I really think that is a huge part of the problem. So what's the real solution? And I really do believe that this is true. The solution is coming back into right and loving relationship with our bodies, believing there is nothing morally wrong with not matching your body and your weight and your health to society, to these like bullshit ideals that we've been programmed with. Recognizing that a lot of the difficulties we have with our health, with our bodies, aren't necessarily our fault. There are these power structures that have kind of benefited from lying to us, from feeding us bad food, from, colonization. Yeah, like feeding us obesogens because it's cheaper, and then expecting us to, you know, making it like we're weak and we're lazy and we're and if you're a parent, you're feeding your kids terrible food. It's all your fault. It's, you know, there's never much talk about how these industries like really make it hard for us to maintain a healthy body weight. And I think a lot of coming back into this right relationship, it involves like really treating ourselves with love, no matter what, with care, with grace, recognizing that this process of, you know, as we are making change in our diets, healing our bodies, we are actually healing wounds that go all the way back to this great severing. So it really, this becomes also a process of reclaiming like our essential wildness, our sensuality, our pleasure. And honestly, like, if you think about it, the patriarchy is fucking terrified of our pleasure, especially women's pleasure. Like, when a woman demands satisfaction and autonomy and freedom and respect, she is difficult to control. And if half the population is demanding what's theirs, I mean, the patriarchy would be fucked, right? Like, teachers and nurses and people in female-dominated professions would be paid hundreds of thousands of dollars based on the value they provide. As a society, we would have to pay more for things. We would actually have to, companies would actually have to pay for childcare and elder care instead of relying on the free labor of people. if we really demanded, you know, our human rights and our freedom and our ability to, you know, be an equal human and self-actualize. So anyway, that's a little bit of a tangent, but whenever we're coming back into right relationship with our bodies, with our food, with nature, kind of reclaiming our essential wildness, what does this look like? This has been a big study for me while I've had long COVID. So I'll share a few things that have been incredibly helpful. This is going to sound funny and so simplistic, but a lot of it is just kind of slowing down and doing nothing, making rest, making space, looking inward. It's really funny. I actually went on a vacation with a couple of friends this past week, and we were all sharing an Airbnb, kind of living communally, sharing a kitchen, sharing all our stuff, which I don't know, I think kind of brings up like a lot of friction between people. And I was like, you know, how I'm going to like really stay loving and balanced and centered in this situation is I'm going to meditate a lot. So I like probably three times a day, I was just out in the backyard burning some incense, doing my prayers, listening to like music, and you know, doing some of my visualization exercises that I teach my clients, that I teach on this podcast. And I think the people I was with like thought I was fucking insane. They were like, what is this girl doing? She's so weird. But it did allow me, whenever I was with them, to fully be with them and not just be like half the time like wishing I could run away and be alone, because I had really taken that time to renew, rest, to fill my cup, like reconnect to what's important to me, reconnect to all my boundaries. And if you think about it, like a lot of, you know, our need to numb, our need to use food, it does come from kind of rushing through life from things to thing without like really pausing to consider things like significance, to create sacredness. Yeah, just bringing more space and more significance to the things in your life, more presence, the ability to be fully there. That's been like huge for me. That has definitely like changed my behavior with food, even though it's not even like really about food. And I love the idea too of treating your body, your food, and basically everything in your life as sacred. So I've been posting about this on Instagram. I'm actually taking a course. Like if you had told me like 3 years ago, I would take a course on like sacred ceremonies and how to use things like sage and like how to like worship, not like worship, but like honor the elements and kind of use them in your meditation, in your mindfulness practice, and to really, you know, do things like plant medicine, animal medicine, building an altar. like I would have said, you are insane. I have no time for that. And I gotta tell you, like, it's not that I necessarily believe, like when I'm saging or burning incense, it's like chasing away evil spirits or bad energy. But what I do love about it is that it brings significance, sacredness, pausing. Like I'm taking time to create experiences, like space in my day that are pleasurable. I do this around things. So sometimes if I'm cooking, like I'll take a moment to pause to think about, you know, my food I'm going to prepare, how much love for myself, or if I'm feeding other people, for others that I'm pouring into it. I might put some essential oil on. I might put some music on that really just gets me in a good, like lovey, loved up headspace. And then I just go for it and cook rather than just like being like, ah, fuck, I gotta cook something, and just like diving into that whole experience. It's pretty, it totally makes, I used to drink when I cooked, which I think is like, was because I was just like, ah, oh, this is such a chore. I just kind of almost need to numb out while I'm doing it. That was like a big time when I would overdrink, was on like cooking or meal prep nights. So yeah, like it's so different to create it as something that's a sacred experience, a loving, a nurturing experience, and really honor myself and the people that are going to consume this food. And then all the, you know, maybe all the people who touch this food I'm about to prepare, like really honoring them And then just going into that cooking experience was so much significance. So yeah, creating ceremony just around little things. And another one I love to do is just, I used to get up every morning, make myself a cup of coffee, and then just like watch reality TV. I'm like, what a terrible way to start my morning. But it was just kind of like, you know, I just need to like something to like, you know, numb my brain until the coffee kicks in. So now I kind of take time in the morning just to burn some incense, go out, like align, stretch, feel into my body, kind of notice how I'm doing, how I'm feeling, do some journaling, do some prayers, and yeah, just be, yeah, what I feel like that starts my morning and such a kind of sets me up for so much more like productivity and just like being in a good centered place throughout the day. Another one, spending time in nature. This one is so huge. Like a lot of this wounding we have around food, the whole reason we have like a fucking patriarchy and oppressive like systems of power really is from our separation from nature. And we can never, like, it's kind of a sad thing. Like the severing, it was a severing. Like we can never completely like go back to that state of wildness, but we can reclaim little bits of it. We can really, you know, make an effort just to be outside, to be close to nature, to really be appreciating nature, spending time, like, yeah, whether that's hiking, whether that's being in the park, whether that's gardening and just like putting your hands on the earth, whether that's bringing houseplants into your house so you have something, some of nature with you. It's so important. And I think a lot of times, like out in nature, like kind of connecting to our wildness, what would it be like to go barefoot and splash in the river and get yourself muddy and get a little dirty? Really like reconnecting to that and relishing that. Another thing that's I've been working on that's a lot of fun, right relationship to food. I've really just kind of been thinking about, like, if we really believe, like, the food that we put in our body matters, we want it to be high quality, we want it to be clean in the sense that it doesn't have, like, obesogens and a lot of processed stuff in it. Not that we have to be perfect, but being mindful of that, minimizing that, I think is good. So that's a beautiful start. I've just been trying to, like, prepare more, like, whole food stuff and really kind of, as much as possible, cut out processed stuff. I still eat it sometimes. Like, the world doesn't end. I do notice when I eat it, like, I feel differently, which is really interesting. But yeah, like it's, you know, what's the next smallest step you can take, I think is a good approach to just starting to clean up your diet, cook more at home using whole high quality ingredients. I also have been kind of thinking a lot about like where my food comes from. I'm like, you know, so much food is like comes from pain. Like, I'm like, you know, a lot of this food that we eat, especially the more imported stuff, it's, you know, probably imported from places in Asia. Like, it's probably farmed, like using backbreaking hand labor by farmers in Asia, in South America. It's packed up and packaged with tons and tons of preservatives so it can make this long journey across the ocean to the grocery store and sit on the shelf for a week or two and eventually get bought and get eaten. And I'm like, there's like some pain in that food. Like, and then the food itself has, you know, been what's the word? Adulterated, like with all these chemicals. So is that really what I want in my body? And I mean, I think it's really hard to avoid that stuff. Like, let's be realistic. But is there a way to, you know, start bringing more local foods, foods grown on small farms with love into my diet? So I've been becoming like more interested in farmers markets, eating seasonally, things like that. I haven't started to grow my own food. I live in the city, but I have a huge balcony, so that might be something I experiment with. I might start with like a tomato plant or something like that's hard to kill. We'll see. Yeah, and I also thought a lot about, this is a very personal one. I think there's no right or wrong answer to this one. For a long time, I've been feeling kind of called not to eat animals or animal products, and I was a vegetarian for a few years, like way back in college. And then when I moved to Asia to work, I was like, I kind of want to eat everything. I want to, you know, try everything, not be saying no to things. So I stopped. I started eating meat again, which felt like a right decision. And I'm glad I made that decision. And I've kind of lately been feeling called. I'm like, there's no reason now that I need to eat meat. I don't love the meat industry. I really hate the meat industry, to be honest. I think it's cruel to animals, to people. Like, there's a lot of problems. And I'm like, I don't really necessarily need this in my diet. And also, I have long COVID. Like, I have issues with neuroinflammation. Like, I probably, you know, it would be good to like eat, I'm already trying to eat like anti-inflammatory diet. Let's actually think about taking out at least the meat. For now, I'm still eating cheese and dairy. So just vegetarian, not vegan or fully plant-based. But yeah, that actually just started yesterday. And I'm like, this feels so good. I'm like, I'm so happy that when I sit down to eat, there's no animal. Like, I feel like there's much more love on my plate, in my food, going into my body, and much less like fear, suffering of people, of animals, maybe still some. I mean, it's like I said, we're not going for perfection here, but that was a step that felt very right. Yeah. And I do think, yeah, there's kind of a joke among like personal trainers. I know like there's some personal trainers that work with specific kinds of athletes and diets. Like, I think vegan, like, you know, that might be me someday. I can respect that. Like, there's trainers that work with keto athletes. But I'd say like most personal trainers I know, we get really tired of diets with names. This was definitely me. I'm so tired of people coming to me and being like, should I do intermittent fasting? Or should I do, what's the word? I just had like the name of a diet, like South Beach or paleo was like kind of, and I'm like, you could, it's kind of a lot of work, and it isn't necessarily like what's best for your body. Like, when you're doing hard endurance training, like, wouldn't you just like it to be easy, to be simple, to feed your body when it's hungry? Like, you get to do all of that, like when you're training for a marathon or training to climb a giant mountain. But yeah, so the whole thing was like name diets. We were just like, ugh. And there would be like a new one like every year. And it's like we just have to talk to people about this diet and learn about it. And, you know, knowing that none of the named diets like necessarily are the way to like health, to performance, to a lot of times a balanced approach really is scientifically what works best. But yeah, I would say like, I think like when you're striving for perfection, like, you know, we can like be like, I'm going in this to be healthy. I'm going to clean up my diet. I'm going to eat less meat. I'm going to eat anti-inflammatory. I think if you take it to an extreme and get too rigid with it, it almost becomes like the equivalent of another named diet. There is like actually an eating disorder called orthorexia, where people are just very rigid about eating healthy food. So maybe that's actually the name if the diet had a name, like what it would be. But yeah, like, we don't want to go like so far that it just becomes, yeah, like another form of control, of beating yourself up. We really, again, want to be doing all these things from a loving place, a conscious place, a place that feels good. Like, when I made the decision to eat meat, I'm like, oh no, this is like another, this is another rule that I have to follow. I was like, this feels really good. I like really love this decision. And I really, you know, I'm probably not going to have too much trouble like holding that boundary for myself. And if I do, like, that's maybe a sign that it's time to question that. Like, maybe it's time to go back and eat some meat. We'll really see how it works. But yeah, that's just the decision that feels really good right now. So yeah, to eat mindfully, consciously, and feel in a way that feels like it's good, not just for you, but for others, for your planet. I think that's a really beautiful thing. So that's just a little overview of some stuff I've been doing. And does it work? I feel like it works pretty well. Like, I feel I haven't necessarily lost weight, but dang, I feel good. I love my food. I love eating. I've been posting like so many, if you follow me on Instagram, like so many like food pictures. Apologies if you're getting annoyed by those. I'm probably going to keep posting them because I'm just like, oh, this plant-based dish is just so pretty. And I love just putting up pictures of them because they just look nice and they look delicious and they have been delicious. So it's a lot of fun. So why does it work to get back in right relationship? Really fundamentally, because when we take action from a place that's aligned, that feels healthy, that feels loving, that feels forgiving, that feels graceful, that feels free, that like really takes into account our essential wildness, that's a beautiful place to take action from. It doesn't feel like hard work. It doesn't feel like struggle. And really, fundamentally, that is really where we can make long and sustainable long-term change in our life, in our habits, in the way we eat, in the way we drink, in the way we, you know, treat our bodies, in the way we exercise. Like, all sustainable change comes from a place of positive emotion. And a lot of that positive emotion only becomes possible when you've kind of healed some of these wounds. And even just, you know, maybe they'll never fully heal, but it's just recognize that they're there, treating them with grace, treating them with kindness. And yeah, that's how you get to change your relationship with everything. And yeah, like, that's, I think, where true health and true vitality really becomes possible. So, oh my gosh, these like the last few episodes have been so long, y'all. I hope it hasn't just been like, oh my gosh, is she ever gonna stop talking? Like, so I can get to the next episode, which is more fun. I really hope it's been interesting, it's been enlightening, it's been a little challenging, and I really hope that you'll take some of these principles into your own, yeah, like relationship with your food, with your body. Even if you never lose weight, even if you never like change your body in any way, like your relationship with your body can change. And I think that that's so magical. All right, I'm going to tear myself away from the mic, you guys. If you are listening in real time, definitely it's not too late to jump on that workshop for tonight. And otherwise, I will see you soon. Take care.